You know, and I don't know if it's just, you know, coming into a major election and, you know, the news media and this and that and the other. But, I mean, just like, I don't know. I've been having to go over to Uvalde a bunch lately and just looking at all the traffic and just looking at all the it's like, what is everybody doing? It's like, I don't know, just different. And so I'm just trying to find Jesus in the middle of everything. I said, Lord, what's going on? And just trying to talk to him and say, you know, what's taking place here? What's going on? What's happening? What's moving? You know, you can stay here in Utopia and you can live in the hills and you don't ever think anything's changing. Unless your well goes dry or, you know, quick chickens quit laying or, you know, or something like that. You could live your whole life and your existence back in one of the hollows and never even know what was going on. You know what? It's only when you get out and get around the masses and get around people and start seeing things that are going on and just, you know, hearing stories and what's taking place. But anyway, I want to talk to you about the ministry about ministry. We talked last week about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how God is always wanting to move and he's always wanting to do things. He's always wanting to move in our lives, but are we aware of it? Are we even seeing it? And so I want to draw your attention here to Luke chapter 4 and the scripture Jesus, the sermon he preached in verse 18. Let me read 17 so it all fits in. He says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and has set at liberty those who are oppressed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now he's reading out of Isaiah 61. Then he says, and he closed the book, he gave it back to the attendants, he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. So he's got their attention, right? Now he's about to preach. And here's his preach. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's all he said. All right? That's all he said, and he got the whole congregation so mad at him, they wanted to take him out to the hill and kill him. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And everybody just became outraged. That was his message. Because you see, what happened was he cut right to the heart of everything, and he said, look, I'm paraphrasing. Actually, I'm adding a lot to it, painting with a real broad brush. I'm not just paraphrasing. What he said is everything the Old Testament prophesied is come about today. Everything the Old Testament prophesied, everything Isaiah prophesied, everything that he said was going to happen, today you can have it. Today, this preaching the gospel to the poor, this healing of the brokenhearted, this liberty of the captives, this recovery of sight to the blind, the liberty of those that are oppressed, it's all available today for those that believe. Right? That's the message he put. The good news that you can be free, the good news you can be blessed, the good news that Jesus is alive. That's the message. You see, the problem is Christians, so many times, we don't think Jesus is dead, all right? But we just don't see him active. And so we don't see him active in the church. We don't see him active in lives. And we don't see him active going on. Well, then it's just like worshiping an idol. There's no difference. We're just worshiping something that we're not seeing really. You know, it's a statue. It's not really doing anything. There's no life in that. But that's not ever what Jesus called us to be. His ministry, the ministry of Jesus, didn't die with him, didn't go to heaven with him. Right? He says that there's two of us gathered together in his midst, he's there. Do we believe it's true? Well, then if we really believe it's true, and if it's down in our hearts and we really believe it's true, then why do we not see more things moving or happening than I believe that should be? Tell you why I believe it is. I believe it is because we don't really believe it. We know it in our head. We don't know it in our heart. We know it by logic. We know it by reading the word. We know it by what the word says, but we don't really know it. Like, it's not the same as if Jesus was standing here preaching. If he himself was standing here, the Messiah. I mean, can you just imagine if I said, okay, look, Sunday we're having, Jesus is going to be here. He's coming in. He's flying all the way in from Nazareth. He's coming in here. He'll be here, and he's going to preach. I mean, the real Jesus. Everybody said, really? I mean, you know, I mean, if it was possible, I'm talking about if he's still alive. Like, if I said, Billy Graham's going to come, everybody would say, Billy Graham's going to come. Everybody would be telling me, Billy Graham's coming, Billy Graham's coming. Everybody would fill up the place to hear Billy Graham preach. Are y'all following me on this thought? But when you say, yeah, that's right, two of us are going to get together and Jesus is going to be in our midst, I say, yeah, right. I'm sure it'll be a good service if the Lord plays the right songs and the praise team does right and pastor preaches the right message. I'm sure it'll be good. You see, it's completely different. We don't even have the concept of what koinonia means, to come together as a body of believers, and that we walk into a place fully well expecting God to move. We walk into a place with holy reverence, knowing that, oh my gosh, we're walking into the place and Jesus is there. You know, you ever messed with a black light as a kid? Right? You could write something on the wall with the right pens or whatever and you never see it. Then you turn the black light on, boom, there it appears. Well, if you turned on the white light in here, because I don't believe Jesus would have a black light, it would be a white light, and could see the angels, see Jesus, see everything in the ministry going on, you'd freak out. And I wish it would happen. So Apostle Paul prayed, said, man, I pray that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened and they'll know the hope of the call, that they could see. They could be able to see, not with the natural eye, but with their spiritual eyes, be able to see what's going on, so that everything became such a holy, reverent thing. It's like, oh my gosh. I'm telling you, right now, in this room, angels are in this room, and Jesus is in this room. We don't see it. We don't see him with our natural eyes, but I'm telling you, he's here. Holy Ghost walking around. But it's so easy to become numb and unaware of it. Because all it takes is our mind thinking about something else. I mean, it's all it takes. Your mind going over, thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow. Your mind going over how tired you are right now and you just really want to go home, or your back hurts or your neck hurts or your feet hurt. I know that didn't happen to any of y'all, I mean, but older people like me, it does happen. You know, about why'd somebody say this, or what are you going to do, or how are you going to deal with that problem tomorrow, whatever. Any of those thoughts going through your mind takes you out of the presence of God. Right? So it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because we've got to have the mind of Christ whenever we're in the middle of the worship service. We got to get rid of those thoughts. We've got to cast those imaginations down, cast those thoughts down. So now let me just throw this out. You know, so then the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the word of God. So then his ministry is active too. Right? To sow thoughts, to sow deception, to sow lies, to sow, you know, discord, to sow whatever also. Right? Okay, picture this scene. The apostles. Because I don't want us to think that we're so, you know, that like it's just us kind of people that could miss it. The apostles came together for a meal. You can read it over in Acts 15. They came together for a meal. They're all going to sit down. And all of a sudden, the Jewish believers started kind of getting over and kind of congregating around each other and getting away from the Greek believers or the Gentile believers that were there, because they didn't want to associate with them, because they got to thinking a little Old Testament came into them. And they were thinking, well, we're not supposed to eat with the Gentiles and we're not supposed to be there with them. And so they got over here and they started getting off over here and got off over to the side and wouldn't eat with them. And finally Paul stood up and said, what are we doing? Peter got involved in it. It's real easy to look back and say, man, I can't believe those guys did that. But that's how easily the devil came in and began to sow thoughts in their minds and began to just tug around on them and got the apostles themselves out of the will of God. Y'all with me? So I'm just telling you, if it happened to those boys that walk with Jesus, it's pretty obvious that you could be thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow and miss the Spirit of God today. Right? It's not a hard thing to do. It's a very easy thing to do, to slip over and to miss God totally. But that doesn't prevent the ministry of Jesus to being in operation to everyone that believes. How could a whole crowd of people be all over Jesus, touching him all over there, and one woman comes up with faith and touches the hem of his garment, and boom, she gets healed, and Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" How could that happen if it wasn't faith that totally activated the ministry of Jesus to come into their life at that moment, if it wasn't possible for that to happen again today? The one woman went right through the crowd, went all through the people, and she touched the hem of his garment. Kaboom! The anointing was released in the life of Jesus. He actually said, "Virtue or power, I felt it go out of me." So then, let's just throw this out here. Would it be possible then, in the middle of a worship service, for actually somebody who was in faith and hungry to actually touch the garment? Because if Jesus is here, because there's two of us gathered together in his name, to touch the hem of Jesus' garment then, and the power of Jesus touch them, and nobody did nothing, and nobody knew what was going on? It's just a whole lot of things could go on, a whole lot of things could happen, but we miss it because our mind is taking us into other places that we should never be. And the enemy's working and twisting and poking and prodding to try to, you know, to get off also, to get bring up thoughts, because he doesn't want us to get anything. Because if we get anything, we're not going to walk in it. I mean, that's right. And think about what I said there for a minute. Right? Because if we get something, then we're gonna walk in it. So he didn't want us to get anything because he didn't want us to walk in it. And the whole time it's right there. But because we've become so desensitized to the Spirit, but I can't believe I said that. Right? Because we're bombarded daily with all the carnal, worldly things that go on. The other day, I came in from work and just went back and I got a rocking chair on my porch. You know, all good country homes have got to have a rocking chair outside on the porch. And I sat down in that rocking chair. You know, I just walked in, put my stuff down, just walked out on the porch, sat down in the rocking chair and just sat there. And I was by myself at the house and just took a deep breath. And wind was blowing through the trees and I was just sitting there and, man, just got it, just enveloped with the Spirit of God. And I said, "Man, Lord, all day long, it just seemed like I've been in a dry land, just out there. And man, I'm so thankful I can come home and here you are." But he was there too, but what was going on was taking me away from him. The ministry of Jesus is there all the time, every day in our life, every moment in our life. He wants to come into our life and set us free and to set the captives free and set all that. But I'm telling you, It's this world and this whole world system and our brains and our the wrong thoughts and the thinking and the things that takes us out of that and pulls us out of it. So the ministry of Jesus is alive and it's active and it's as real as it was in the day he walked down the streets of Nazareth. It's just, are we going to touch it? Are we going to touch and grab hold of the anointing? Are we going to touch and grab hold of the virtue that's there? Well, the first thing you've got to understand, if you're going to walk in this, the very first thing you have to start reminding yourself every day is that he is alive and not dead. Every day you got to remember, you serve a risen Savior. You serve a God who is alive. He is not dead. The second thing you have to remember at all times is that he is only as far as the mention of his name. Hello? At the name of Jesus, everything bows. Right? He's alive, And he's only as far as the mention of his name. And then number three, the third thing you've got to remember is that it's your faith that is activating the anointing and the power of God in your life. I was talking to a man the day before yesterday going through a bad situation, and he was on the other end of the phone, and he was upset, and I said, man, you got to grab hold of some word. And he said, you know, I had a dream years and years ago, and Jesus walked into the room, and he said, he's healed. And I just stopped him right there. I said, do not say another word. I said, if you saw that, and you know that that was Jesus, and you know that dream was real, then don't listen to anything else other than to remember what the Lord said. He's healed. Because the world's going to tell you everything that there is. The doctor's going to tell you everything in the world. It's just going to be, an onslaught. Have you ever just gone on the internet and looked up some disease, and in it sits at the bottom of it, you know, tells you all the symptoms, all the things, but at the bottom it says, but faith in Jesus Christ can heal you? You ever seen that on the bottom of the disease chart on the internet? Not even an option. You know how you go sometimes, you search something out, and then there's like a word that's highlighted. If you click on it, you know, it'll take you somewhere else. There's not even any place to click that says to go to that. Just gives you the worst report you could ever possibly imagine. Your mind's a powerful thing, too. I was reading a deal that they were talking about that the World Health Organization put out a new deal, so there's a real rise of leprosy in the world. And so I'm reading this article about leprosy, so I went in there, I was reading about leprosy, and the next thing I know, it's like, you know, like my neck begins to itch. I'm like, man, what the heck is that? I'm warming, oh, Lord, have mercy. I mean, it'll get you. I mean, you read that stuff, it'll get you, man. You're just like, oh, my gosh. Right? But they never have any little postscripts down at the bottom that says, oh, but remember the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. Remember the man that was laying at the with his bed there in the pool of Shalom. Remember, I don't want to tell you nothing like that. I remember the guy. Remember the time when Jesus spit in the guy's eye? It didn't say that in there. Just tells you the worst things in the world. And so, just think about it like this. You got to remember he's alive, right? You don't serve a dead God. Right? He's alive and he's active, and it's your faith that's going to activate it, right? And then think about this story. You remember when Jesus walked up to the man, and he was with all the other sick people, right? He went to the pool where they were all waiting for an angel to come down and stir the waters, and the first person that got in got healed. Why even go if you can't even get up out of your bed to get down there? You ain't going to make it. Not unless you're laying on the edge of the water just teetering, about to fall in. Right? If you got to weed through a crowd of people, you're not going to make it. You're definitely not going to be the first one in. God, what a disappointing thing to be the second. I mean, they gathered there because they believed it, so I don't know. Maybe something happened at one time. I don't know. Maybe there was something going on. But to be the second, I mean, Muggs, that's terrible. I mean, two lepers and one jumps in. Just beats the other one by a toe and got healed. And you come out and you still got leprosy. What a disappointment. It's going to be crushing, right? The other guy's jumping up and rejoicing, and you want to be happy for him. Like, if I could have just got my toe and it hurt. They say, oh, rejoice with our brother. He got healed. I don't want to rejoice with him. I wanted to get in before he did. And all of them are sitting there looking at the water. And this is what I feel like the church is today. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the church world, all right?
Everybody's looking at the water. And nobody sees Jesus come in. And they're all stirring, waiting for the stirring. Waiting for something to go on. Was that it? No. Well, it's just a bird flew by and caused a ripple. And nobody sees Jesus that walked in. He just walked right in and he kind of walks. Maybe I've got the story wrong, but I don't believe so. I get the image when I read the story that there was a bunch of sick people. Now, how much was a bunch? I don't know. But to me, a bunch is like 30. Got to be more than 30. That's me. Right? And, you know, if everybody was... Everybody was poised to jump in the water. I'm thinking it's kind of thick, the crowd. What I mean is people aren't lounging around over on the perimeters. I mean, they're right there trying to get into the pool. And it doesn't say like it was an Olympic-sized swimming pool. So I'm just figuring everybody was kind of congregated pretty close. And Jesus comes walking in right there. His garment may have brushed upon somebody. He may have had to step over people. And they were looking in the wrong place. They were all looking for the water to stir, looking in the wrong place. And then Jesus finds this one guy. And then he says something to him, which got his attention off the water. He spoke to him. And he said, would you like to be healed? And he's like, well, who in the heck wouldn't? Why would I be here if I wouldn't want to be healed? But I got nobody to put me into the water. So in other words, Jesus saw something in this guy and said, this guy's different than everybody else. He knows he's not going to get healed, but he wants to come here every day just to see something. Now, I'm really painting big tonight. I don't know the guy, but let's just say this. What if he'd been sitting there in his bed all those years watching other people get healed until he just finally got happy just watching other people get healed? I don't know. I'm just throwing this out for food for thought. And that's what drew Jesus to him. Says he knows all the hearts of men. Something in that crowd drew Jesus to that man. Something was different in his heart than everybody else's there. Everybody else is looking at the pool. Jesus said, well, just take a bed on up and get on. Because the ministry of Jesus, he was there. It's no different today, church. When our eyes get off the water and get on him, it's no different. When our eyes get off the water and it gets on him. So, you know, don't let it happen. Don't let the ministry of Jesus be stolen from your life. Don't let the world and the situations of the world and the problems of the world and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lesser of the thing enter in and choke out the ministry of Jesus in your life. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hey, don't lose it. Amen? Praise God.
Don't do that. But you've had to have done that. Or I've known somebody that did it. Or have some experience in this matter. Y'all with me? So now you're on this mission, on this journey you're going through. God's dealing with you and working in you, and you're taking dominion. You're worshiping him. You're trusting in him. You're walking down this road, and then you're experiencing things in life. And then it's about those others you're running across. The other ones you can stop and say, hey, come here, listen, don't do that. I already did that once and it didn't work out. But this is what you need to do. And you help that person, and you bless that person, you speak to that person, you take them to Jesus, you show them what he needs to do, and you get them on the journey going with you. Hello? So in Luke chapter 4, start reading verse 16, it says, so Jesus was there as he'd been brought up, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of Isaiah, the prophet, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now just stop there for a minute. Jesus goes home to church. Everybody say he went to church. Jesus went to church.
He went into church, and it says, as his custom was. So he had a habit of going to church. Right? Listen to me. The thing that's going to keep you in life, on the journey going, is the habits that you make in God. If you have a habit of reading the Word of God, you have a habit of praying, habit of going to church, habit of reaching out to others, a habit of just calling people on the phone saying, hey, listen, I was just thinking about you, just praying for you today. I don't care. Nowadays, you can be have a habit of texting people a word, texting people a scripture. You get a habit of that, you get a habit going. Those habits is what's going to keep you on that road. They're the guardrails on the journey and the road of life that keep you going the right direction. If your habits are, you know, every Tuesday you go crazy, you develop that habit, then you're going to want to take it to Wednesday. And then Thursday, and then Friday. I learned something the other day, and it works. Absolutely, it works. I was talking to a doctor about losing weight. We're talking about diets. We're talking about just trying to stay on what kind of foods to eat and what kind of foods not to eat, and this and that kind of stuff like that. And I was explaining to him, yes, all that you say out of your mouth sounds good, but it is a very difficult thing to do. And so then I attempted this and tried it and sort of having some victory and going along that. So we were having a discussion about it one day, and I said, yeah, man, I've done pretty well. I said, man, I slipped and cheated the other day, though. And he stopped me and he said, listen, Robert. I said, I don't ever hear you say that again. He says, you didn't cheat. So listen to me, don't say it like that, because when you say cheat, that means you feel guilty. And when you feel guilty, that's a negative response of what God would ever want you to do. He says, every once in a while, allow yourself to celebrate. My ears perked up. I said, now preach on, brother. I'm kind of liking this. Now, what are you saying? He said, yeah. I said, you don't want to say cheat, because cheat kicks you into a place of guilt. He says, you want to put yourself in a place of joy. And so it's celebrate. So now I just say, okay, now what can I celebrate today? Glory to God. Let's see. Celebrate today. Well, I got up this morning. Glory to God. Let's celebrate. It changed the way I thought. When it changed the way I thought, it changed the way I actually looked at things. It gave me strength that I needed, that one little word that I needed, to align some things in my life, because I looked at it differently. I wasn't operating in guilt, I was operating in joy. Big difference. Folks, listen to me. If you develop a custom that's a good one, it'll be the guardrails that keep you going on in life. But if you're driving down the road, I mean, like, just think about it. You can leave from here and you can go to Sabinow, and you can drive from Bar Ditch to Bar Ditch, all the way down there, and you guess you'll eventually get down there, right? But it's a whole lot easier just to drive straight, right? We don't want to live life like that, from Bar Ditch to Bar Ditch. We got to develop some customs in our life. Jesus had a custom in his life. You got to develop some disciplines in your life and some customs in your life, some things. If you're going to read the Word of God, then read the Word of God. Develop it as a habit, as a custom, whether it's in the morning in bed before you, or the cup of coffee, or if it's in the evening, or if it's whatever. You develop this habit, you do it, and if you'll do it for 21 days, you'll have it for your whole life if you won't quit. But if you quit for 3 days, you'll lose it, and it'll start all over again. That's the way it works. But you got to have some customs. So it says, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and he, on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Psalm said, he found the place where it was written of him. Now let me ask you this. Do you know what the Bible says about you? It goes back to having dominion. Who are you in life? If you can go open up the Bible and says, no, this is what it says about me right here. This is me. He said, well, I don't know about it. No, I'm just saying, come on. Don't discard everything and throw yourself out with the bathwater and say, no, I'm not. And no, you're in the Bible. Every one of you are in the Bible. There's a word in here, every one of you in here that's in this Bible. Do you know where it's written about you? Do you know what the word says about you? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even my faith.
Oh, Lord, that's the place I've seen about me. I've got victory because I got faith in you. That's where it was written about you. Are you with me? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Lord, that's me because you're in me. I know you're in me because I remember over here it said over in Ephesians that I'm born again and you're living me. And so I'm a new creation. So therefore, Lord, see, you got to go find those places where it's written about you. You got to be able to be like Jesus. And he turned to the place where it's written of him. And then he started reading it. And he says, verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, everybody say because. You see, so many times people get crazy in their thinking because they're thinking that God is moving in the world because of them. But I'm telling you, it's not about you, it's about them. It's not about you, it's about everybody else you're going to come across in life. Hear me now. It's not about you, it's about everybody else you're going to come across in life. Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. In other words, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus. The Spirit of God was upon Jesus for a purpose, for a reason. Right? And then he tells us what the reason is. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant who sat down. And all eyes are fixed upon him in the synagogue. And he began to say, and today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Jesus said, I'm anointed of God. The Spirit of God is upon me for a reason. And the reason is that I'm supposed to go tell people about the good news. I'm supposed to go set people free. Listen to me. I want y'all to understand that right here, this is written about you. You say, oh, God didn't call me to be a preacher. No, I'm not talking about preacher and full-time ministry. I'm talking about as a priest, as a minister of God, you are, as human beings, all of us are, to the people that we come around. When you come around someone who's brokenhearted, they need to be healed. That's you. When you need somebody that needs to hear, they're a captive and they need to hear about the liberty that God has set you free from. That's you. When you find somebody that's blinded, whether they're blinded, truly blinded, or they're blinded, they just can't see the truth, right? It's your job. You're anointed. Listen to me. You can stand up and say, Lord, so-and-so has come across my path today. Any of you can pray this, all right? Lord, so-and-so has come across my path today, and I thank you that he's, because he came across my path today, I take that as a sign that I'm anointed to speak to him or her. And you can take full confidence and assurance to know the Spirit of God's with you. Are you with me? You say, Pastor, I don't know about this stuff. You're kind of freaking me out, scaring me here. Listen, folks, it's time to get going. This is you. Fiery, anointed, Holy Ghost-filled men and women of God out there in the world that have an answer for people. The answer is Jesus. Oh, you're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. You just got to take them to Jesus. You got to introduce them to Jesus. You got to take them under the foot of Jesus. Say, here, this is who you need to talk to. Talk to him. Are y'all with me? Pressure's not on you other than to be the proclaimer, the announcer. That's all you are. You got to get them to Jesus, to the foot of Jesus. Now, let's just look at it for a second. You're going to want to hold your finger there. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 11. It's talking about the devil here. Let's just read verse 10 so it all fits in. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who has accused them before God day and night has been cast down. It's talking about the devil. Verse 11. And they, who's the they? All of us, right? Overcame him. Who's the him? The devil, right? The accuser of the brethren who once been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Huh? The word of their what? What is it? The word of their what?
Oh, your testimony overcomes and defeats the devil. Well, your testimony anointed by God overcomes and defeats the devil. And then what is your testimony?
Well, I don't think we're going to make it to tomorrow. By God, things look horrible. I don't know. I've been going to church all my life. It just seems like I just kicked around. There's nothing that's right. Nothing works. I don't know what it is. Is that your testimony? Well, I ain't going to get nothing to any victory anywhere.
Listen to me, church. You can just think I'm crazy all you want to, but listen to me. I would rather stand up in the face of adversity and say, yeah, I lost last time, but this time I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, you may seem like a defeat, but it wasn't a defeat because I got stronger and smarter the last time we fought. I saw that sucker punch. Now I'm ready for that sucker punch. See, you tried it right there. I got you then. See, oh, yeah. Well, you ain't going to be messing around. Oh, yeah. Getting smarter in life. Folks, listen to me. I've not won every battle, but I'm getting smarter all the time. And I'm still going to go into adversity. You know why? Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on a cross for my sins, and I believe He rose from the dead, and I believe that He sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And because I believe that with all of my heart, I'm walking forward, bless God. I may not understand how everything works. I may not have everything perfect. I may not get everything lined up. It doesn't make any difference. This is what I believe in my heart, and I know it to be true, and so I go forward. Hello? And so therefore, it says, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and the word of my testimony. The word of my testimony, I'm going to defeat the devil. So that means when I go to somebody and say, hey, listen, He'll set you free of that. That by saying that, by going to someone and saying, you know, guys, I hate to tell you, but I was in that situation too. It was horrible, and God got me out of it. And I'm still walking today, and I'm still alive today. And yeah, it hurt, and it was bad, but I'm alive, and God can take care of this situation. He can get you out. He can get everything going. You don't have to worry about anything. That defeats the enemy in that person's life. As you walk in this life, as you're going out there and saying in life, back over what Luke 4 said, that you preach the gospel to the poor, you've sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. It's your testimony that's doing that. You do not have to have the answer for everything. You don't have to figure out where the dinosaurs came from. You don't have to do that. That's not your job. It's your testimony. Say, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went on, but I just know this. This I know. The blind man. Remember the blind man that Jesus healed, and then they sent him back, and he said to him, he said, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know, but all I do know is once I was blind, and now I see. They said, well, you're like that blind man. He said, no, you idiots, I am the blind man. They said, oh, I don't know, he looks like the blind man. He said, I am the blind man. I was blind, and now I see. He said, it's what you know. That's going to change the world. It's what's going on inside of you, your testimony, what your relationship is with God. If you have no relationship, if you're not going down the journey, then you don't have much of a testimony. Hello? But when you're on the road and you're starting to apply those three things we've been talking about into your life of who you are and what you worship and who you trust, then you're starting to walk down that road. Then you're starting to develop your testimony. You're starting to build that testimony so that you have something to say. Hello? Folks, listen to me. When you read through the Bible, you know, a lot of times you get the impression that this is the way it was one day, and then you turn the page and that's the way it was the next day. But years have gone by. And you're not just going to, poof, get it going. Everything that's moving in the kingdom of God, it takes some time. The Bible says a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. In other words, the time schedule is not really like we think time. Do y'all realize what would happen? Just think about this. What would happen if you had no time? I'm talking about you didn't have a clock. You woke up in the morning at whatever time you woke up. You didn't have an alarm clock to wake you up. And then you worked as long as you wanted to work. And then you went home and
You ate when you were hungry, not when it told you what time it was. You ever think about that? Have you ever just gone on a vacation and just put up everything and you just have a watch or clock, you didn't have any telephone or anything like that, you know what time it was? And then just to go and you realize, at first you're panicked. Because we're a society that lives looking at that stupid clock. I hate it. I mean, we have to do it, but I hate it. Do you realize how different life would be if you weren't running based upon the time? You see, all I'm saying, church, is that there's things that we do in life that completely gets us off track of even on what we're going in, what we're supposed to be doing. Now, don't show up at your employer's late and then say, well, the preacher said we're not supposed to look at the clock no more. Don't do that. Heaven help me, Jesus. And start something here. Don't do that. But I want you to have an understanding of that. There's nothing in the timetable of God. He doesn't operate by your clock. And you prayed, and now suddenly you look up in your eyes, okay, did it happen? Because it doesn't work on that kind of a clock. It works on His clock. So you could go, you could be praying for something and almost ready to give up on it, and then in a year it happens. Right? It's your perseverance and your endurance in the gospel that gets you the experience you need and builds your testimony. It's the standing in the face of adversity and saying, I know what I believe, I know it's true, that gets you down the road to where you need to be. Now, I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to go fast now. See, I'm out of time. I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah 61. That's what Jesus read when they unrolled the scroll of Isaiah that they had there. He found chapter 61. Of course, it wasn't chapters then. It wasn't chapter and verse. It was all just written out. But he found the place where it was written. So he went through it. And that's where he stopped. It would have been chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor of the tidings. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to those who are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He may be, 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 He may be, that He may be. Y'all with me? That He may be glorified? Huh? I'm going to read that again. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that He may be glorified, that God may be glorified. Turn to the person beside you, look up and say, hello, tree. He wants you to be a tree of righteousness. He wants you to be the planting of the Lord and a tree of righteousness, planted and rooted down strong. Deep roots. Planted in righteousness. You know what you believe. And when you do that, you then bring Him glory. Church, if you want to please God, just do what I'm talking about. If you want to know if you're pleasing to God, just be on this journey of life and then share your testimony whenever it comes up. Tell people, hey, I don't know, but this is what I know. I don't know what you're doing, but this is what I know. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Can I just pray for you? People say, well, you're crazy. I am crazy for Jesus. I have an answer for everything. It's Jesus. Hello? And then you're on that journey. You're a tree. I guess your little roots are walking. On your journey. Right? And then you're bringing glory to God. I had something the other day that really encouraged me, because a person told me that they were out working on a job and they met this person, and the person, they started to talk about Jesus, and he asked him where he went to church. He said he went to church here, and he said, "Oh yeah, I met that preacher years ago." And he said, "He really helped me in life and got me on the right track, and I listened to him on the radio and a lot, and now I've got a ministry to street people out, to drug addicts and stuff in the streets." And so he was telling me, this person was telling me, and I was like, "Who now?" And so he's explaining all this to me, and I could not recall the person. And then I kept thinking, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, I do remember that person. He was doing some construction, and I was there, and we had some conversations, but I'm talking, we didn't have any deep, deep, deep conversations. Had some conversations, person, just, you know, and about walking with Jesus and just general kind of stuff and whatever. And then to find out that this person went on and did that, it just showed me how God can take the little things, the seeds that you plant in life, in a person's life, and then that person won't just dig it up and kill it, that it'll grow and it'll take root in their lives and it'll make great things happen. I had no idea. No idea. And all I'm saying, church, is we just got to be aware of this. Because it's not about you, it's about them. And you're going to help them in life with your testimony and what you've seen God do. Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down for today? Pastoral team. Now, church, listen to me. This great, great news of Jesus, it's got to be proclaimed everywhere. This great and glorious news of Jesus has got to be proclaimed everywhere. You're his voice, you're his mouthpiece, you're his testimony out there in the world. But listen, you can't start off anywhere in life if you've never met Jesus. If you're here today or you're watching by video or you're listening by on the radio and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know today that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You don't know that if you were to meet your Maker, you're ready. Well, then I want to tell you, the Bible's real simple. Every promise of God has a condition with it. The condition for salvation is simply not that you be cleaned up, not that you do everything right. The condition is that you will confess with your mouth and you will believe in your heart in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe that he's the Son of God, that he died for you. Your part's the confessing and the believing. Then he just makes everything else happen. But if you're in here today and you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, you're not sure you're right with God, well, then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that are out there listening on video, radio. I want to give you an opportunity to meet this great man named Jesus. So if you would here, just bow your heads for just a minute. Give everybody a little privacy around you. And if you don't know Jesus and today's your day and you want to meet him for the very first time and you want to pray and ask him to come into your heart, well, just lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to confess Jesus today as my Lord and Savior." Just lift up your hand and say, "Yeah, that's me, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand." Anyone else? Today's your day. You want to meet Jesus for the very first time? Well, church, pray this with me. Those of you that are watching by video, listen, pray this with me right there in your homes. Say, "Jesus, today I make you the Lord of my life. I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to wash me in your blood, and forgive me. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me eternal life." Amen. Now, church, listen, we're here to pray with you. We've got our prayer team up here today. If you've got anything going on in life and you need prayer, well, we're here to pray with you and believe with you. So I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to dismiss the service, but do not leave. If you need prayer, come on down. And we're all going to just pray for you. So grab that person's hand beside you. And let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I declare that we're going to walk out these doors. We're going to go out into this world, and all this week, every person we run across, everybody that comes across, Lord, we're going to know that we're going to overcome them. Lord, we're going to go out and we're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we're going to tell them that, Lord. We're going to have a testimony this week to tell people and to encourage people. So, Lord, I just pray right now. Bless them. Let our eyes be open. Let us not miss an opportunity, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Go get them.